At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Station.
A microphone
and a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You think I'm some dummy off the street? Yeah, my era is everything. No, I cover all eras. My nickname, Mr. Era.
Jeff Lutz.
I've been around for 34 years, longer than most people.
34 years to me is that happened yesterday, not in your lifetime.
There's no alternate history where that could have been achieved.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
What are we talking about?
My mind is elsewhere. Welcome again, everybody. It's a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power, as always, producing, engineering, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. Don't forget to get to IHOP, where they're having all-you-can-eat pancakes through the 15th of this month. So still another 10 days left in that promotion.
You're going to run out of pancakes.
What's up? You didn't seal the deal last night against Kansas
cares?
City.
2-3. All you need to do is win series at this point. If you keep winning series, you'll stay on top. You'll get to the playoffs. You'll probably get that.
Gave the Royals a little hope. Tommy Pham with the big hit in that one.
It's always a home run off Ben Lively, and usually he's able to maybe make it a solo shot or a two-run shot, but this time it was a three-run shot.
You've bad-mouthed on the show.
Who?
Tommy Pham, Seth Lugo team up to win the game
Seth
for the Royals.
Lugo didn't do anything. We put a bad lineup out there, and that's what you get.
Well, what lineup do you have that's not bad?
One that includes John Kinsey Noel. One that includes Josh Naylor.
Oh, man. Anyway, you got 2 of 3, as you said. But now, Royals feel a little better about themselves.
Maybe.
Day off today. They go to Yankee Stadium over the weekend to face the Yankees. I'm familiar with that. The Cardinals did it last weekend.
Cardinals playing well against some good teams.
Yeah, I don't get it, but this is baseball, and Paul Goldschmidt has found something. Now, the question becomes, are the Cardinals going to find money to pay him?
I don't know.
He's a pending free agent.
He's turning 37.
Do you trust the guy?
I wouldn't if he's.
Do you do a 1-year deal for $15 million and say that's
it? What, though? He's not a sentimental guy. It's not like he spent his whole career there. You have other options at first base. He hasn't led you to anything. So I just don't understand what the point of that would be.
The guy can hit.
I understand he can hit. But
the guy's hitting.
Let's turn the page.
And the guy's hitting. You know, you like a guy that can hit, and this guy's hitting.
It only took him 5 months. You want to go through that again?
I don't want to go through that again, but what if this is...
You want to go through it with Arenado?
Arenado's been okay.
But
you can live with Arenado.
But he's on the decline. He's not going to get any better.
He's on the decline, but he's okay. And you have to live with Nolan Arenado. He's signed for 3 more years. So that's not even a debate.
I understand.
Goldschmidt's a debate.
But you're already going through it with one veteran who's, again, not going to probably lead you to anything.
I don't mind the idea of Alec Burleson and Lucan Baker platooning at first base next year.
Doesn't Burleson, is he only a platoon guy? Does he not hit lefties?
He hit left-handers very well. Crushes right-handers. Lucan Baker crushes left-handers.
That could help.
So maybe that's your... Maybe that's the way they go. And then Burleson can DH, and a lot of he can play the outfield. He's a versatile guy. We'll see.
You got some options.
I'm not going to get hung up on
Lucan
it right
Baker's
now.
Baker's my age, but other than that, he should be okay.
He's 27. And he's been very good since they brought him up. They should have brought him up months ago.
Well, I told you that about Kyle Manzardi. He said, well, just be happy he's up now. And that's not the way I operate. Well,
I try to win.
I want to put my best team on the field every night.
What I try to do is win. I'm all about it.
Well, you've been failing.
And I'm not in that Cleveland mindset.
Obviously, you are.
So we have picks today, our second week. And if week one is any indication, Jeff's going to have a whale of a year.
I doubt it is.
He was 5-3 last week, leads it with 25 points. Max had 5-3, 18 points. Duda, 4-4, but for 20. The big fella, Anthony, 4-4 for 16. And I went a miserable 2-6 for 12 points.
You got some of your big ones, so that helps.
No, I'm not happy with it.
What'd you get, your 5-7 or your 8-4?
5-7, Georgia, KU, that's it. My 8 was A&M.
Hate that for you.
Completely dropped the ball.
The 8 this week should be fairly obvious, but...
Well, we'll see. When we get to picks, we'll see what's obvious and what's not.
How many games are we picking?
9 this week.
No Colorado, Nebraska.
Nope.
That's too bad.
At 225 today, Scott Merkin, who covers the White Sox for MLB.com. We've had Scott on the show to preview the White Sox a few times in the past years. But now we're going to have him on to talk about what it's like covering a team that's going to set a record for losses. Although last night, they hammered Baltimore.
Weird.
Hammered them. I watched a little of that game, the beginning, a couple innings, and they just took it to the Orioles.
Who pitched for the White Sox?
Some kid. Blonde-haired, locks. Some kid who pitched when they broke their 20-what-game losing streak?
21.
22, I think.
It's 21, but that's all right.
No, I don't think it was.
Okay.
Look it up.
You can think whatever you want.
I heard it. I heard him just talked about today.
Well, you heard it wrong.
And then he pitched last night as they broke a 12-game losing streak.
Well, he's the stopper. Maybe he should pitch every night.
But I can't remember his name. But Scott Merkin from MLB.com will join us. I'm just curious what this season's been like for him. What is it?
21.
Nah, it's 22. At 2:45, Dusty Trail, the head football coach at Bishop Carroll. As we continue talking to high school football coaches, the season begins tonight in some places, but in earnest tomorrow night all over the state of Kansas. And that Catch It Kansas crew, I'm sure, will be out en masse tomorrow. Am I right about that?
As far as I know.
You got nothing to do with that anymore?
No, I kind of decided I'm going to step away from that for at least this year, from the Catch It Kansas aspect.
What gives
of
you
show?
The option to decide what you're going to do?
The option is that's not my shift, and I'm going to work my shift, and that's what I want to do.
Well, why'd you do it last year?
It's different circumstances. My kid's coming back, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll hang out with her for a couple days, and I'll go see the Eagles on a Friday. I'll go. I got to work next Friday with the wind surge. It's just not really lining up as well this year, but we'll look at it again next year and see how it goes.
Well, I don't understand why you get to make those calls.
Because it's my shift.
If I was the employer, what I'd say is I don't care what you got going on. You're in for Friday Night Lights.
Maybe next year. Maybe I'll go out a game or two this year and cover something. And we'll see. But I cannot commit to a full-time.
Will I make it to a high school game this season? Yes or no?
No.
Why do you say it?
Did you make it to one last year?
Why do you say it with that emphatic?
Because you couldn't even go see your Springfield Cardinals. That didn't even entice you to get up off your couch or your chair. And, you know, if the Akron Rubber Ducks were playing here, I'd go see them every night.
I feel like I keep in very close touch with the Cardinals farm teams. And Double A Springfield this year, while they had Tink Hintz and they had Quinn Matthews for a while, they don't really have any prospects on that team.
You got Brian Torres, who's okay.
He's 27. He's not a prospect.
Oh, you just said Lucan Baker was...
Yeah, Lucan Baker's been up, but Lucan Baker's fine. Lucan Baker's
Why is Brian Torres
prospect.
In Double A if he's playing that well in Double A?
Don't ask me, because they got the outfield covered in Triple A.
Well, then he needs to go to a different organization.
Well, maybe he will. I don't know. I think he's a one-year... I don't know. I mean,
he was there last year. Are you sure? He's 27.
No, he wasn't there last year.
Of course he was.
But he's had a good year for him, but he's not a prospect.
If you say so.
I mean, maybe he'll give him a chance. I mean, they got a lot of guys in front of him. He's not on their top 30 prospect list. He's 27. Nobody... You're not a prospect. If you're at Double A when you're 27, you're not a prospect.
Okay, but he's hitting 324. He's
great.
Got
we appreciate
32
it.
32 steals. He doesn't need to be in Double A. Give the kid a challenge.
We'll give you a cookie.
Last year he was with the Milwaukee Milkmen.
Right. He came out of independent ball. And they've taken a look at him, and once they get to the offseason, maybe they'll decide that he's a guy they want to add to the 40 man.
What do you think he hit for the Milkmen?
Probably 317.
He's hitting 324 in Double A.
Yeah, the Milkman is a good pitching.
He's hitting he hit 371.
Listen, it's a good league they play in.
The American Association?
That's where the Wing Nuts played.
Yes.
Is that league still alive?
Of course it is.
So that's one of the teams in it.
The Milwaukee Milkmen, yes. They've added some teams. They got the Chicago Dogs. Couple others that they've added.
Who else is in it? Any of the originals? The Lincoln?
Lincoln's in it. Cleburne. You know who's in it. All the teams. I'll tell you right now who's in it.
Those were the days. Somebody ought to write a book.
Sioux City's in it. Sioux Falls, Winnipeg. All these teams are in it.
Somebody ought to write a book about the Wichita years in the American Association playing independent.
No one would read that book.
Why not?
Kane County's in it. Remember them from the Oakland Athletics
Kane.
Organization?
I remember Kane County.
The Lake County Dockhounds are in the league. Kansas City Monarchs.
Well, they've been in it a while.
Yeah.
All right. I can get with that. That's not bad. Tonight, we have the kickoff of the NFL season. We've talked about the Chiefs and Ravens a lot. We are now at the point where we're going to be picking that game a little bit later. Kansas City, a narrow favorite, I believe 2.5. I don't want you to divulge, but I have a very strong feeling about the team that's going to win tonight.
Well, winning isn't everything. There's a line on that game that could swing some picks one way or the other, depending on how confident you feel about a score.
No, I have a feeling about the winner.
Well, that's fine.
Strong feeling.
That doesn't necessarily mean... whoever that team is will cover a spread of, 3.5?
But when you have a strong feeling about the winner, it would indicate that you believe that line is not enough.
Maybe.
Wouldn't that be if I'm going to stop the show and cause people to pull over in their cars or wherever they are.
They won't.
And say, I wonder what his strong feeling is.
Why would they pull over for that?
Because they care.
You can care while driving.
If I have a strong feeling, you're so threatened by me.
Threatened?
One of the greatest
stupidity?
Things about this show is that.
That you talk nonsense and I call you out on it?
Yes, I love it.
Okay, well,
it works every time.
If that means threatened to you, then sure.
Max, get on.
Does he have to? What is he going to say? What is he going to offer?
Hello.
I don't know what he's going to... Hey, Max. Max, hi. Back. By the way, I found out just a bit ago that Max is going to be out for the next 2 weeks starting Monday.
I hate that.
What the hell? I mean, what the heck, Max?
I need the ocean. I need to go home.
Well, I understand that. More power to you. So, on my assertion that I can press Jeff's buttons pretty easily, do you agree or disagree?
I agree, but it's
whose
fun.
Button is being pushed right now, though? The guy who makes a huge point of someone's button being pushed?
Yeah, you guys push each other's
buttons
constantly.
Sitting over here calmly.
You guys are...
Say that again, Max. Jeff was...
You guys push each other buttons constantly. It's great.
Well, Jeff has more buttons push.
It's beating happen
no,
to make...
No, I don't know about that.
You know, I shouldn't say
Thank
this,
you,
but
Max.
It beats having to make a promo about Hawaiian shirts.
there's Max, who just spells it out.
Sure he does.
Says it like he sees it.
I mean, why not?
And I think he agreed with me on that.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, we got that game tonight. You guys coming over for it?
I don't know. That's a pretty late start.
Really? Well, so that we're already in the whining mode about
not
it.
Not really whining, but that won't be at halftime till 9 o'clock. And then,
well, that's what I said. You stay the first half.
You got to go wind down. You got. I mean, it's tough.
Wind down?
If you got to order also a gluten-free pizza.
From?
Wherever you want.
Ziggy's have gluten-free?
Yes.
Well, then that's where I'd order it from.
Well, Ziggy's, get pepperoni, or you can...
Well, I gotta have verification that you're coming.
We'll discuss it. I was told it's a tentative yes.
Well, why? Listen, I think Shannon's awesome, but what's your vote on it?
It's a tentative no.
Really?
I don't know, man. That's late.
Well, that's just awful.
I got a new couch that I enjoy lying on and real comfortable, and my cats over there that hang out. So it's hard to just, you know, get
so
up.
So what are the chances you'll take me up on our offer?
What's the offer?
To come over, have pizza, stay for the first half.
33.3%.
That you will?
Yeah.
If Shannon was answering, what would she say?
27.5%.
Really?
Yeah.
So I thought she had the tentative yes.
I don't know how she's feeling today. Should I text her and ask?
You know, I remember, I hearken back to when my parents were alive. Hearken. I like to hearken. There's my pushing the button again. I go back to that time, and there weren't that many. I wish some memories were clearer. But I had to drive all the way to Derby to see my parents. And it seems like I did that at least twice a week.
Really?
Now, maybe I'm... And that was before you were born. It seems that way. Now, all my friends lived in Derby. So it was kind of, well, I'll stop in and say hi to the folks.
Well, what were you doing? You worked.
Yeah, but I was young, man. I was getting around.
So when you're young and you can do anything, hey, I'll go visit my parents.
No, I went to Derby to see my friends, but I was able to visit my parents.
Well, usually you were visiting them to drop me off over there.
No, I'm talking about before you were born.
I don't know what was going on before I was born. I can't speak to any of that.
But it just seems like I was in Derby quite a bit in those years.
I don't know.
And my parents never, you know, seems like I was never, well, I'm 33.3% sure I'm not. I mean, I don't
but
get it.
But wouldn't they have been refreshed by your honesty? And instead of, your dad wasn't a guy who wanted you to just fall all over yourself to go hang out with him.
I'm not saying that at all.
Kind
but
of.
I enjoyed her volatility to some degree, but I enjoyed being around my dad.
Of course, who didn't?
I was around him a ton as a kid. He took me to games, and we hung out all the time. Now, he said about 6 words,
but well, I can
that's
relate.
Okay. That's okay. We didn't need to talk.
Were those 6 words about how bad you were doing in school?
No, my dad never cared about how I did.
Oh, man, to have that.
He actually thought I did very well in school.
Well, anyway, he can think anything if he doesn't know.
Well, he got notifications at times, but he didn't go off the deep end.
Why did you?
Because I was smart. He knew that. He knew I'd figure out
didn't
a way.
Did you know I was smart?
No.
What
really,
do you think
I
now?
Really, I didn't know.
Do you know now that I'm smart?
Buttons, Max. You're I mean, you're okay smart.
But I was never going to be a scientist. You know, I was never going to do anything involved in math. You should just be paying attention to what I did in English and journalism. Who cares about the other stuff?
Well, it's good to have a well-rounded education. Yesterday, we had a meeting at our building with college-age Rudd Scholars, who do a lot of tutoring for our Bright Lights education program. We're very involved with them. And there were probably 15 of them in the room. And we went around and I asked, where are you from? What high school did you attend? What class are you in at Wichita State? What are you majoring in? Simple stuff. So a couple of them, you know, a couple of them named kind of obscure high schools out in the state. And I said, oh, that's, gave the nickname. And
We've tried that game on this show.
That impressed them. One said they were from Meriden, Kansas. And, of course,
Jefferson West, North?
Jefferson West.
Yeah.
Jefferson North is where?
I don't remember.
Nortonville.
Okay.
So, I mean,
I'll take your word for it.
Well, don't take my word for it. I just know that I'm right.
Okay. That's basically the same thing.
One said they were from, gosh, one said they'd grown up in Rexford, Kansas. Now, that's way out in northwest Kansas where there's not a whole lot. What high school is in Rexford, Kansas?
I have no idea.
Golden Plains.
Really?
Yes, sir.
That's good. I would have known that 10 years ago.
Well, why do I still know
it? I don't know. You retain information better than I do, perhaps.
Well, Max, use that as a promo.
Retain useless information and more than...
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Scott Merkin. He is MLB's beat writer for the Chicago White Sox. Has been doing that job a while and does very well at it. I'm curious what it's been like covering this futile effort put forth by the White Sox. Scott Merkin will tell us next. The Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Scott Merkin joins us on the IHOP hotline. He covers the Chicago White Sox for MLB.com. I mentioned we've had Scott on the show to preview the White Sox. Well, this is the first time we've had you on to talk about what has been a historically difficult season. How you holding up, Scott? What's it like covering this team?
Oh, you know, I'm doing fine. I mean, I was off for this Baltimore series, so I missed the big win yesterday. But You know, it's you got to find the stories in the season. I mean, you know, it's you know, I mean, you hate to sound glib, but we don't get paid by the victory. So, you know, you get paid a salary one way or the other, and you try and do the best job you can. And there's some good stories to be had. They've had some, you know, really good production minor league side this year. Maybe not across the board, but some really good individual performances. Garrett Crochet has been, I think, one of the better stories in baseball, even though he's understandably on an innings limit in the second half because he's not only crushed his single season innings limit, he's almost doubled his career innings total so far. But, you know, there's been some good stories. You know, Grady Sizemore has added some energy to the team. So, yeah, but it's tough when they lose, you know, 21 in a row, 14 in a row, 12 in a row is the last one, I think. So it's tough to kind of find angles off the game, but you know, you do what you can. They have it, put it this way, they have it tougher than I do, that's for sure.
So yeah, I was gonna ask you about Grady Sizemore, because you know, I'm a Cleveland fan. He spent probably his best years as a player in Cleveland. Now he's a young manager, probably by all indications not going to get that full-time job. What have you observed about his demeanor as a guy leading the clubhouse in the dugout?
You know, I talked to him one-on-one Sunday, and he kind of said, you know, he hopes that he does a good enough job that he at least makes it a tough decision for the people who are going to make the call. And, you know, ultimately it's Chris Getz and Jerry Reinsdorf, but there will be others involved as well. Yeah, I think it's just he commands a lot of respect because, you know, he's a guy who did it at that level and did it well, did it at a high level for at least 3 years. You know, I think he played three straight years of 162 games. I covered him. I mean, I didn't cover him directly, but I covered the Sox when he was tearing it up for Cleveland in 05, 06, and 07. And I just think he's, and it helped that he was there all year. You know, he was their major league coach, which is just kind of like a guy who helped out wherever they needed it. He worked with the outfielders defensively and just a little bit offensively and base running. So he was there all season and commands a lot of respect. And I think, you know, his record is not any better than what Pedro Grifol's record was just in a shorter time period. But I do believe that he's added a little extra life. And he even talked about that he could sense the morale was down. And I think what you were seeing, you know, when they were really fading is, you know, a team that kind of played hard every day. And it's a really good clubhouse. There's no infighting. It's just a really good group fighting for each other. But you could sense like it was almost like, okay, when is this going to turn? When are we going to lose? And I don't think that's been there with Grady. Again, they haven't won a lot of games at Grady, but I do think the belief is there that they can do it. So maybe that's half the battle, but you kind of need, you know, to enhance the team a little bit to win the other half of the battle.
Scott Merkin with us from MLB.com. He covers the Chicago White Sox for MLB.com. So they pretty much unloaded at the trade deadline. You look at this roster. You're aware of their minor league system. You right. Have gotten to know Chris Getz. What do you think the offseason plan is? And then the second part of that question, I'm a Cardinals fan, and Cardinals fans are spoiled rotten. And I admit that. So we're up in arms about everything that involves the front office and ownership. I can't imagine what a White Sox fan would think right now about Jerry Reinsdorf. Where is all that?
Oh, I don't think it's just Jerry. I think it's the entire organization. And, you know, they have a right to be angry. And I think the White Sox front office and the White Sox as an organization understand that. You have to understand that when Rick Hahn embarked on the last rebuild, this is like rebuild three since I've been covering the team, but embarked on the one that started with the Chris Sale trade to Boston at the winter meetings just outside D.C. in 2016. Fans not only embraced that, they like thrived off it. You know, I mean, I've told this story 100 times now, but when Moncada made his debut, he had like an 8-pitch at bat. I forgot how it even ended, but he fouled a pitch off on like pitch six and got a standing ovation. So that's how people went nuts when they announced on their the Sox Twitter account that Michael Kopech was making his starting debut that following Tuesday. They announced it on a Sunday. So to embrace it like that, to love it like that, and then get two playoff wins out of the whole thing. And I'm not talking two playoff series wins. I'm talking they won one game in Oakland in 20 and one game at home against Houston in 21, and that's it. And then to, you know, be on pace at least, let's not say probably, because you never know, they could finish drawing the 0-3 Tigers won five of their last six games to avoid 120, right? So you never know what can happen. But even if the season ended today, 109 losses, I mean, back-to-back 100 loss seasons, in the scope of baseball and only baseball, it is embarrassing, and they have a right to be angered. There's no question about it. And I understand what the fans are feeling. In terms of this offseason, I still think it's going to be another rebuild year, another kind of year to figure out what they have in their system. Some more guys will come up. They have the number one and number two left-handed pitching prospects in baseball, and Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith, who was the number five pick overall in this year's draft, I'm sorry, in the 2024 draft. So you'll see guys, you know, you'll see a younger team, more guys come to the majors, but eventually they're going to have to spend, and I don't think, and again, I don't mean they have to go out and spend $400. That'd be something, wouldn't it? $400 million. I could spend $400 on a player, you know, to make this team great, but they're going to have to spend a considerable amount, maybe across four or five players, to really enhance the roster. And they did that the first time, and it just didn't, for whatever reason, it just didn't work. Underperformance, injuries, you know, signings that didn't pan out like they wanted. But, you know, at some point that's going to have to happen, and maybe that'll be the offseason going into 26. But I think 25 is not going to be a lot of additions and more, you know, youth and development.
If you could point to maybe one thing as kind of the tipping point to where the White Sox go from a playoff caliber team in 21 and 2 and 3 years later, especially 3 years later, they're historically bad. What would that be? Is it Tim Anderson falling off a cliff? Is it injuries? Did it start with La Russa's hiring? Where do you think it started to go wrong for the White Sox?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. And I will say that if you're going to complain about Tony coming back, you know, after being out of the dugout for, what, 10 years, they did win 93 games and won the division in 21 with him at the helm. Now, again, it's not a sole operation, or I should say a solo operation, but they also had a ton of injuries that year, too. So it wasn't like he was handed a perfect team and just step back and watch it work. There was, you know, Aloy was out, Robert was out, Nick Madrigal, who was still a key player at that point, he went out all for extended periods of time. And they somehow, you know, now the rest of the division wasn't very good that year. A lot of injuries in the Cleveland pitching staff that year. Kansas City and Detroit just weren't good teams. And I think Minnesota had an off year, too. And then they finished 81-81, his second year, and he was very sick, unfortunately, which, thank God, he's healthy now and still part of the organization. But I just think everything you said, what I was just saying, you know, injuries to key guys, trades that didn't work, you know, free agency that didn't pan out, that kind of thing. So, and more so injuries. You know, I mean, Eloy Jimenez has had a quote before the season started about how he wanted to see himself, Robert, and Moncada all play at least 150 games this year. And I'm not sure, Aloy's now with the Orioles, but I'm not sure if together they're going to total just above that. Although Robert played, you know, has played a little bit coming back. But Moncada hasn't been there since April 9th, and Aloy's with the Orioles now. So just a combination of everything just did not work for them and leaves them where they're at.
Final moments here with Scott Merkin, MLB.com, Chicago White Sox beat writer. White Sox sitting at 32-109, although last night they handled the Orioles in Baltimore. So there are
32-109 sounds really bad, doesn't it? When you say it out loud,
it does. I tried to gloss that over quickly.
And the interesting thing is they have two huge wins under Grady against the Yankees and the Orioles. So go figure, baseball, right? I mean, two of their bigger wins are against probably, you know, well, I don't want to say two best teams because it's so hard to pick the best team in the American League right now, but two playoff teams almost certainly, and they handled that. And they're 5-5 against the Guardians, who have a 4.5 game lead, I believe, on the Royals to win the division, right? And yeah, that one's really high. Now, they played three early without Stephen Kwan, so that could make a little bit of a difference. But still, 5-5, they're 5-5 against the Guardians, 1-12 against the Royals, 1-12 against the Twins, and 1-9 against the Tigers. So figure that one out.
Wow.
Amazing. So there are two players still on this roster who anybody would love to have. One of them, Garrett Crochet, you talked about him earlier. He has had a tremendous season. He's performed at a very high level. The other, Luis Robert, who has not mm-hmm. had a good season. He's missed a big chunk of it. And when he's been on the field, he hasn't been productive. Where do those two guys sit with the White Sox moving forward?
Crochet, I would, you know, it's tough because, I mean, when you have a guy like that who clearly sits at the top of your rotation, and I would argue in the first half of the season was probably as good as any starter in the game, as dominant as any starter in the game. And remember, this was a guy who told me when he was told he was the opening day starter, that was the first time he really knew he was going to break camp as part of the rotation, because there was speculation with him coming from the bullpen in only one full season that he would go to their AAA team in Charlotte to kind of start his, you know, speed up his workload there. And here you go. He's now one of the more dominant guys. But the thing is, they have him for two more years of control. So if you can't see yourself winning in those 2 years, it probably makes better sense to try and move him and get a huge return at this point, especially as great as he's pitched this year. And now you'll have in the off season no innings constraints. He'll have the whole season behind him. He'll be ready to go next year and be ready to go, you know, full boat as a starter. Robert's an interesting case because he had a tremendous season in 2023, one of the more complete seasons I've seen from a White Sox player. And then he was hurt again this year, hurt himself in Kansas City, running out of double. And then, you know, he's been very uneven since he's come back. He's chased a lot more than he usually has. He's still running the bases well. I think he's got over 20 stolen bases. He's going to end up with like 15 to 18 home runs. But I wonder if teams, you know, he has 1 year left next year, and then he has two option years. So I wonder if teams may want to see him a little bit in the season before trading for him. Or I guess you could go, as Chris said, Chris Guest said from when he took over, there is no one who's untradeable on this team. So anything is possible, except I would say guys like Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. You know, they're here for the long haul. Probably Colson Montgomery, their top position player, is there. But anyone on that major league roster, anyone on that 40-man pretty much is fair game to be traded. So it'll be interesting to see the kind of interest he'll have in the offseason from other teams. There was considerable interest in Garrett right up till the last hour or so of the deadline this year from teams like the Dodgers and the Phillies, and they made good offers. So we'll see if those offers even jump up next year. And there'll be more teams in it, I think, too. Teams like the Cubs and the Rays, who were kind of, and still are, kind of borderline playoff contenders, may think, well, this is the guy who takes us from borderline to back over the top in 25.
Scott, thank you. I'm thankful that a veteran reporter such as yourself is covering this team. It'd be a really tough one for a newbie to step in and try to cover a team like this. We appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Sure, anytime. Take care.
Here's Dusty Trail from Bishop Carroll, head football coach. The Golden Eagles open play tomorrow night against Wichita Northwest, a difficult assignment. Dusty, welcome. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good afternoon, guys.
We're always happy to talk with you and always happy to talk high school football. Last year was an anomaly for Bishop Carroll, 3-6, first losing record since I was a young man. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
So what happens this year to help turn this thing around?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously that's helped motivate the guys as far as, you know, putting in the work in the off season. You know, I've seen that. You know, we're going to be a young team this year. And, you know, so we're going to have typical young team struggles. But I really like the attitude of our team and the work they've put in the off season and their attitude going into the season. You know, they've been very positive, working tremendously hard. And, you know, hopefully that shows up on the field for us.
What did you learn last year, I guess, about yourself, but also about your program? And what kind of thinking did you do about, you know, reinforcing or reevaluating, whatever it might be, the standard that you hold your program to?
Yeah, you know, definitely, you know, after last season, obviously, you know, after every season, I take a step back and you know, take a look at our program and what I'm doing in the program and the direction it's going. Obviously, I'm the leader of that direction. So, you know, after every season, I try to evaluate what we're doing and how successful that is. After last season, obviously, you know, that took some reflection on my part as far as, you know, what transpired throughout the season. I don't think we needed to make any wholesale changes as far as how we do things, but definitely we had to kind of step back and reevaluate some things as far as how we do things, how we communicate to the kids, and make sure, you know, they're gaining an understanding of what we want them to learn. And so we did make some changes going into this season as far as how we do those types of things, as far as the expectations are. And my philosophy when you're going through tough times, then you got to go back to the basics. And so that's something that we really hit hard, in the off season and in preseason, is just going back to the basics of football and what it takes to win games playing this game, and it's basically just blocking and tackling. So we took a hard look as a coaching staff as far as how we teach that part of the game, the blocking and tackling and the physicality part of the game, and made some changes there. And so far from what I've seen, I think it's made a positive impact and moved us in a positive direction. But as you know, Friday nights are going to be the proof of that. So we'll see how things go tomorrow night against a tough team.
Dusty Trail, our guest, head football coach at Bishop Carroll, been a part of that program now for how many years, Dusty?
Yeah, I'm going into my 30th.
Wow.
Wow.
So I've been there a while.
Congratulations on been a lot of success over that 30 years. So we have complete faith that Bishop Carroll will find its way back. But I wanted to ask you about coming off a season like you did last year, which nobody at Bishop Carroll really has a blueprint for. You open with Wichita Northwest. Would you rather open with maybe somebody not quite of the quality of Northwest, or is it good to just jump right in?
No, my philosophy is jump right in. I love playing good competition. It challenges our kids, teaches them, you know, how they need to prepare for top quality opponents, because that's where, you know, we want our program to be and feel it should be is competing against top quality. I'm fine with jumping right into the mix. It's a good kind of barometer game for us, you know, and I know Coach Martin likes it the same way. It gives us a good idea of where we're at as a program, what we need to work on, things we need to improve on, win or lose. And how to compete at the highest level against these guys. You know, our standards, our expectations are the same every year. We expect to be competing in November. That's our goal every year. And you're going to be competing against top quality teams that time of the year. So, might as well jump out of the gate and see what that looks like right away and where we need to get to.
You said it's a little bit of a young team and maybe they go through the growing pains, but do you see, I guess, how much improvement do you expect this year? And do you see in some of these young guys a group that can get you back to the top of the City League?
Yeah, you know, I just see a greater passion for the game in this group of guys. They love playing the game and they show that day in and day out of practice. We put them through a pretty tough fall camp, pretty physically demanding, pretty time demanding. They've responded That's what I like to see, win or lose tomorrow. These guys are responding to everything that we're doing, and they're responding in a positive way. They like to play the game. They like playing with each other. Now the key is going to be for us, how well are they going to play together? How well are you going to do your job? Yes, but how well is your job meshing with the guys around you on the field? Being a young team, that's always tough. That's what you need for consistency is everybody working together and doing those things that, are going to create good things. But they have to do it in the right way. They have to do it at the right time. And, all that takes time to learn. And when you got new guys there, it takes even longer. So, I'm also interested. This is going to be the first varsity start for several of these young guys. And so I'm interested to see how they're going to handle that as well. There's going to be obviously some pressure there, some excitement, some fear. How are you going to handle that? I think it's going to be a great learning experience for us, win or lose. Those are things that we can definitely build on throughout this season and continue to improve and get better and be where we want to be at the end of the year.
Dusty Trail with us one more. We know your time is limited, but I want you to give us three or four names of some personnel that we need to be watching out for.
Well, a young man that has been in our program for 4 years, one of our few seniors. We've got a small senior class this year, but one of our few seniors who hasn't had a lot of opportunity to show what he can do because of injury throughout his high school career. But Carter Klumpney has had a really good fall camp. He's going to be starting at quarterback for us. And, I think he's going to surprise some people. He's got a strong arm. He's getting smarter by the day about where to place the football and when to get the ball out. He's got a quick release, strong arm, and he's athletic in his own way. He's not a speed burner by any stretch, but he's a strong kid and he can extend plays. So, we're really excited about him and showing what he can do. Also on the offensive side of the ball, we got up front, we got Zane White returning to lead a young offensive line, and we're going to need his leadership. But Zane's done a great job of, trying to pull those guys together. And he and J.P. Carrillo up front, there are two of our few returners that have varsity experience there. So we're going to rely on those guys heavily, to keep us moving in the right direction, keep us moving the chains. And another guy that we're looking at is Nathan Gertz on the offensive side of the ball. You're going to see him line up in a lot of different spots. He's a big kid. Again, not overly fast. He's not one of your speedier guys, but he's a 6'4", 6'5", guy. Play tight end for us. He'll play H-back for us. He'll play wide out. We're going to move him around a lot, see if we can create some mismatches. And, he's got good hands and will make the contested physical catches. So he's going to play an important role for us to keep the chains moving as well.
All right, Dusty. Well, I got to intercede. I apologize. Okay. I wanted to get a couple more names, but we got to get to a break.
Right. That's okay. I get a little wordy sometimes. I apologize.
Hey, we're looking forward to it. Best of luck. Again, Bishop Carroll begins its season tomorrow night at home at Bishop Carroll against Wichita Northwest. That's such a regional rivalry, really two schools in the same neighborhood. Best of luck. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate having me on.
All right, Dusty Trail. We'll take a break. We'll come back hour number two. We've got picks coming up with the big fella and Jason Duda, as well as Max. So we'll all be making picks. That'll take us a little bit with nine games. Back in a minute.
Radio.
Radio you can touch.
That can only mean one thing.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
I've known you your entire life. There's no one who knows less about football.
Jeff Lutz.
I think every bowl game from now on should be named after something you can put in a bowl. Like raisins, orange bowl's fine, sugar bowl's okay, but no tax slayer bowl. You can't put that in a bowl. You can envision a bowl of raisins.
You call yourself a man. I wait for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Sound like a monster movie.
Welcome back. We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We have John holding. John, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Lutz. Going back a ways, you remember Eddie Creevell?
I remember him well.
State. Yeah, he coached at Wichita State for 1 year. I believe he got fired the following year. He went to Capen, coached at Capen. And I believe that first year at Capen is when that fall, Wichita State plane crash occurred. And
that is all accurate, yes.
Yeah, Wichita South and Capen was going to play that Friday. And Wichita South beat Capen. And my father was the coach at Wichita South, and he was upset about an article you did. Because basically you implied that, Capen lost because Eddie Creevell was kind of distracted and upset about the plane crash. You know,
now you're becoming inaccurate.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that in
1970. John, in 1970, I was a high school sophomore.
Oh, okay.
How old do you think I am?
Well, maybe it was the year after. But
then I was a high school junior.
Were you?
That's how that works. I didn't go straight from high school sophomore to Wichita Eagle.
Okay. Well, my father may not be remembering it, but he's still bitter, thinking that.
Well, who is your father, John?
Louis Valadez.
So that's why he always had a little cold shoulder for me, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. So maybe he's not remembering it right. But he says,
Is Lou still alive?
Oh, yeah, he's still alive. And he wanted to show you up. So the next year, Wichita South beats Capen again. And just to show you that, there wasn't a
show fluke. Show somebody anyway.
Previous year. Yeah.
Well, I am not guilty as charged.
Okay, great. I'll let him know then.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm his son, and by the way, my sister-in-law is Carla Rito, also, who just passed.
Well, we were very sorry to hear of her passing. That's one of the great athletic families that we've ever had in Wichita, the Rito family, so thanks for mentioning her.
Yeah, she was a great player,
And all right, John, let me know if Lou forgives me, okay?
Okay. He was just still kind of bit. Like I said, he might maybe didn't remember it correctly.
It's not maybe. He did not remember it correctly.
Okay, I'll let him know. So maybe he won't be so bitter or have any animosity towards you anymore.
Thank you, John. That made my day.
Yeah, I was trying to do that math in my head, and it just didn't quite work out for you to be doing that in 1970.
Well, the day of the plane crash, which is the anniversary coming up here, which was October 2nd, 1970, as I said, I was a sophomore at Derby High School, and we were very much shaken by the plane crash. I was a big Wichita State fan at that time. I mean, football, basketball, didn't matter. I loved the Shockers. And I was particularly disturbed. And I remember walking home on a gorgeous afternoon, and my number one concern of many was the well-being of the voice of the Shockers, Gus Greeby.
Sure.
Who was on the other plane, fortunately. It's unfortunate that anybody was on the plane that crashed, but that was quite a day. But to be confused like that, and I've known Lou Valdez forever. Tremendous.
Does he really give you the cold shoulder?
Really? A little bit. You know, we had a good relationship, but I always felt like there was something. But he was a fantastic football coach, wrestling coach. And I remember him mostly from his time at Heights High School. But that was, I love getting that call. We've cleared something up.
We have. And it wasn't the next year, and it probably wasn't in 5 years either.
Well, in 1975, I would have taken responsibility.
Really?
Maybe, yeah. That's when I became the lead high school sports writer for the Eagle.
Well, there you go. Maybe it was 75. I doubt it, but you never know.
Well, I hope not.
Maybe. Maybe he's got the years incorrect instead of the person.
Could be.
But do you remember writing a story about Ed Crewell being distracted from
the... Of course not. And he wouldn't have been distracted 5 years later.
Unless it was the anniversary or something and...
That would not. No.
I'm just trying to play it out.
Yeah, don't try to do that.
I always do that.
But that didn't work for you.
You're going to have to get over it.
What do you mean I'm going to have to get over it? Just that didn't work. Whatever you were doing right there,
well, this
fell flat.
This guy has carried around a belief for over 50 years that you wrote a story, and all I'm doing is trying to connect how he arrived at that conclusion.
Well, I would hope you'd try to defuse the situation.
Do I believe that you probably did not write whatever story he's referencing? Yes. But I'm also trying to see his side of it.
Well, maybe John will get to the bottom of it.
That'd be nice.
Memories fade over 50 years. And accountings of memories fade over 50 years.
No question about it.
So I would imagine John is close to my age.
Maybe at least. Maybe not. He's probably...
I'll say he's close to my age. I'll bet you Lou is in his mid to upper 80s. And I don't know, I don't really have anything to base that on, except my knowledge.
So he could have been 7 in 1970, maybe. So yeah, he's in his 60s probably. John.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
Well, I wish I'd ask him.
His dad's still alive.
Which I'm happy to hear, because not a lot of people from that era are.
John Valdez?
You don't need to worry about it. That's the last thing in the world you need to take on.
It does say he's in his 60s. That's all I can find at the moment.
What do you mean?
That's all I can find at the moment.
Why are you looking for...
Well, I want to see how old his dad was.
Well, I can you not find it?
Well, I probably could. I just haven't looked that hard yet.
We're doing
a radio show.
Anyway, we'll get to that later. Tomorrow on the show, Joanna Chadwick is here representing Vipe Magazine. We'll break down the high school football schedule. Trying to get Stacy Olden, the executive director of the Orpheum Theater. They had a big announcement yesterday morning. They're completely renovating the Orpheum Theater at long last. About a $10 million process over a period of time. They're going to close that theater in the spring for a year and get all that work done. And that play, I can't wait to see it.
It's going to be beautiful.
Did you see any renderings?
I did not. I must have missed
them. Don't you work at a news organization?
I haven't seen the renderings yet.
I'll check them out later.
Who cares?
Can I tell you something about me?
Not who cares that I haven't seen them is what I'm saying.
Can I tell you something? No.
Let's clear something up. We led listeners down a path.
I want to talk about this.
Lou Valdez is 92 years old.
Well, there you go. What did I tell you?
John, not quite as old as you are.
But approaching it.
Yes.
So anyway, John, thank you for the call. And Lou, if you happen to be listening, it's good to know you're still out there. And you've gotten a little love on the show today.
Of course he has.
Did it make up for the lack of love he thought he'd receive from me?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Because he's been carrying that around for 5 decades plus.
How's he going to handle that? You know, Dad, Bob, maybe not.
He's not going to accept it.
The bad guy you thought he was.
He's not going to accept it. He's going to say, well, it must have been another year. Or he must have written something. I'm sorry. He's not going to be able to let go of that. I know Louis well.
You don't know anybody well.
I know some people well.
Name one person in your years of coverage that you got to know well.
My years of coverage?
Yes. That you got to know well.
I don't know.
Because I can name 50.
Weston?
Do you know Weston well?
Pretty well. I knew Carl Taylor pretty well.
But did you know him well?
I knew him pretty well.
But now
I understood his personality. I knew how to deal with him. I knew how to talk to him.
You're stopping short of saying I knew him well.
I don't know a lot of people well. Do you think I know Joe Auer well?
Well, you would if you ever wrote that story about him.
I'm trying to come up with a plan.
I hope you do. Because let me just say this about Joe. Right now we have in the City League basketball ranks, we have perhaps the 1 and 2 most successful coaches in the history of the league coaching at the same time again.
Yes, we do.
And I think that's noteworthy. I'm talking about Steve Eck and Joe Auer. I think that's pretty amazing, in fact.
We also brought Dale Faber back into the mix.
Love Dale? He's not in that.
But I'm saying if you're talking about history, he's involved in it.
Well, I can talk about history all I want.
I'm saying, do you think you could tell the story of the City League basketball without mentioning Dale Faber?
You're going to put me on that spot, huh?
He's not listening. Don't even worry about it.
I love Dale Faber. And he'd be embarrassed that you asked that question.
Well, he'd be embarrassed that you're deflecting it, I think.
No, he wouldn't. Could I tell the history of City League basketball without telling the story of Dale Faber?
Without even bringing him up.
Why are you doing that?
Because. Just answer the question.
Ask me another coach.
Could you tell the story of City League basketball without mentioning Eric Hofer Holdeman?
Yes.
He won a state title.
Although they won a state title and were kind of an upstart in doing so. So he'd probably get a mention in the book.
He probably would. Would Dale Faber?
Give me another coach.
I don't know that many coaches. Chris Davis.
Now, why are you throwing him under the bus?
I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. I'm putting you on the spot. Jim Myrna.
Why are you throwing him under
the bus? You asked me to name coaches.
But I mean head coaches.
Antoine Scales. No, you couldn't.
I thought you were just talking about City League boys.
I was for a minute, and then for some reason Antoine Scales came into my mind.
Here are the coaches who would get prominent mention in a...
I know your group, Cy Sickles.
...historical book about City League basketball.
How much do you love bringing up the name Cy Sickles?
Well, why don't you respect it?
I can tell you Lafayette Norwood, Cy Sickles, Joe Auer, Steve Eck.
Bill Heimbaugh. Carl Taylor.
Ron Allen.
Let me think some more. Goose Dowdy.
Of course.
Would get a mention. Undoubtedly. Did you like the way I did that?
Sure. Not really, but who coached the East teams with Adrian Griffin?
Oh, man. That was Eddie Southern or Don Cameron. And before them, Dick Shoemaker.
They had a lot of big names in that group.
Yeah, they had some good. They had a good run.
Yeah,
would any North coach get a mention? Perhaps Wes Schultz. They won a state title under Wes Schultz,
1987.
Galen Nickerson and a group of very good players. And I think you'd probably have to mention him, and perhaps even Dennis Bruner.
Perhaps.
You know, one thing I've achieved in my life is a knowledge of the Wichita City League.
What about Bernie Pearson?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We'll take a break. And I think you ought to respect that a little bit more than you do. I love
Pearson.
No, respect my knowledge a little bit more
than
you do.
Well, we'll see.
You don't care.
I already know. What's to care about?
You don't care.
But I'm not evaluating whether I care or not. I've known this for years.
We'll be back and make our picks next.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Doodle will call if he can. He's unavailable here at the outset.
Sweet.
We don't ask questions. So.
Yes, we do.
We've got
the big fellas there, though.
9 games to pick today. And Duda didn't get in. He thought we still had 8. I don't know if he doesn't check email or what. So we're going to. What do we do?
I don't know.
Well, come up with something.
Which one did he not pick?
He didn't pick the one we added, Michigan, Texas. So I say we kick that game out, and we adjust accordingly. So
why? Because Duda can't read his email?
Right. So we'll start with Arkansas, Oklahoma State.
Absolutely not. That's a terrible way to go about this.
We welcome the big fella in. Hey, Anthony.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We'll get going here.
I didn't write my pick down for this one, so we got to throw it out.
Arkansas, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State at home, a 7.5-point favorite. It's always tough when teams, when you don't know anything about them. I'll say OSU will win by 10, but for only 3 confidence points. Jeff.
I hate that we're allowing the third wheel of this show to dictate what we do with our picks. But I will tell you that FanDuel has something special for our listeners. Be sure to check out FanDuel's Profit Boost in the app and use it for FanDuel's Double Your Winnings for all of Sunday, September 8th. Pre-game Moneyline Bets. Profit Boost will be live starting Friday, September 6th. View your account page now to learn more about your boost. Oklahoma State for 7. Let's go.
OSU for 7. Duda picks Oklahoma State for 3. Max, what about you?
Well, I had to use my 9 somewhere. I have no idea about Arkansas, except it killed your pa. So I'm going with OSU for 9. Since they are ranked 16.
Now for 8, because we've thrown out the
Michigan.
Oh,
you're throwing out? Okay.
We've thrown out the best game of the week.
All right.
And, big fella, what do you have?
The game is being played at Boone Pickens Stadium. I'll take Oklahoma State to cover. My confidence points, though, I'm going to go with four.
Four when it comes to confidence. All right, we have our two in-state schools playing interesting games. I wouldn't call them difficult games necessarily, but maybe they'll turn into that. Both on the road, both in week two, Kansas State in New Orleans to face Tulane. Kansas State a road favorite by 9.5. Jeff.
Now, K-State has lost this game in the past, and are we going to find out if they're a national contender? Are they going to be Wildcats with the roar, or are they going to be the kitty cats with the meow meow? I got Wildcats, and I'm taking them for 6.
Duda is picking Tulane for 1. What about you, Max?
You know, this whole dropping that other game has messed up my thing.
Don't worry, it messed everyone up.
I understand, but I don't know any other solution.
I have K-State for 7.
K-State for 7. Big fella, Anthony, what do you think?
Man, this is actually a tough one to call because, I mean, we know Tulane, I think they're breaking in a new coach. But they still got some players back that's going to try to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. So, I'm going to take K-State, but my confidence for them to cover that 9.5, I'm going to say my confidence is at about 3.
3. I think you're on the right track. I like Kansas State to go on the road. I think they've got the weapons to score some points in this game. I think their defense is good. I like Kansas State for a little more confidence. 6. Let's go to the Jayhawks. They are in Champaign to face Illinois from the Big Ten. This is a really interesting game. That game has sold out. Illinois, not a lot of football history, but their fan base obviously is looking forward to this one. 5.5 points for Kansas in this one. Duda picks KU for 5. Interesting. He never picks Kansas.
Or Jayhawks.
Max.
What was the spread in that, Bob?
5.5.
Why did you have 9.5 on that? Well, anyway, I take KU for 1 since I haven't heard from KU Pat to help me out. I'm taking KU for 1.
KU for 1. Anthony.
I actually like this, and I know why the buzz is there because of what Kenzie did last year. But I take the 5.5, and I'm going to go 7.
For KU?
Yes. 7 confidence points for KU. Yes.
I too, am going to be a believer in Kansas State and Kansas until they give me a reason not to be. I like Kansas in this one for 5. Jeff?
I'm pretty confident in KU, but I was just a little more confident in some other picks, so I ended up with KU for 3.
Interesting. That 8's still out there, somewhere
sure
in the NFL, which we start now. Green Bay, Philadelphia. They get it going Friday night in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We have Max making here the pick here. Philadelphia giving 2.5 points.
The Eagles will come out of the NFC East easily. I get the Eagles for 6.
Oh, please.
Boy, that is a lot of points on.
You don't want to say that around Anthony.
What about
please.
You, Anthony?
Revoke his
don't shoot the messenger.
Card, revoke his card for picks. I'm going to take Green Bay in this one, actually. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to put an 8 spot on Green Bay, and I'm going to tell you why.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you why. I don't think Philly, if you look at how things ended for Philly last year, they're still trying to find out what their identity is. Green Bay knows what their identity is. So I'm rolling with Green Bay, and Dallas is coming out of the East. Don't get it twisted.
There you go, getting Anthony fired up. This is a difficult game. It's being played on another continent, obviously. It's a tough one because I think you look at Philadelphia and you think they're not going to fall apart like they did last year. But you look at Green Bay with Jordan Love and you think he's on the cusp of being a superstar. And you like that team. One of the guys on ESPN, who's their lead NFL guy? Jeff does the weekly wrap-up every week on ESPN.
I'm not a big ESPN guy.
Well, you've mentioned his name a million times.
I have? When?
I'm picking Green Bay, but for four. What about you?
Another game I felt pretty confident in and just don't have the points to give it. I've got Green Bay. I think they're better than the Eagles. As of right now, I've got them for two.
And let's see what Duda has. Of course, got to get back on his list, so stay with me as we have to cover for the youngster. He has Green Bay for four. Next, Houston, the Texans in Indianapolis to face the Colts. Houston, a road favorite in this one, giving 2.5 to Indianapolis. We open this one with Anthony.
Houston, 2.5 on the road at Indy. I don't know too much about Indy, but I know what Houston is made of. Second year for C.J. Stroud, and I think last year was no fluke for him, and he's humble enough, and they got some more weapons around him. I'll take that, and what numbers do I have left on the board? Because I'm going to give Houston the highest run I can give
him. You got all the low ones, and you've got your 5 and 6, too. 1, 2, 5, and 6.
I got 6 confidence points on Houston.
Anthony's not going to use his big numbers on his team, the Dallas Cowboys, which I find interesting.
That is interesting. Listen, I've bought into Houston, although I've read things here the last couple days that give me some pause. But I still like Houston to go on the road and cover that, but for only 2.
I'd like to know what gives you pause about the Texans.
Just reading about them, the depth, their roster depth. They've got the stars, but according to the people I'm reading, they don't necessarily have great roster depth.
I'm not worried about that.
Of course, you've never won the picks.
I won them 2 years ago.
No, you didn't. Who's your pick?
You quit that year. This game scares me a little because I don't know what Anthony Richardson's going to bring for Indianapolis, but it's indoors. C.J. Stroud will be comfortable. I got Houston for 5.
And Duda picks Houston for 7. A lot of confidence. Ooh. What about you, Max?
Yeah, Houston's got the weapons. Colts don't have much. I got Houston for 6.
Well, you just had Philly for 6.
Did I? See, this whole thing's messed me up. So how about 4? I guess
4.
That's 4 then.
There you go. Next, the Cowboys,
Duda.
Anthony's team. They are in Cleveland to face the Browns. Cleveland favorite here by 2.5 points. I was a little surprised by that. I'm not as high on Cleveland. I like their defense okay, but Dallas is going to cover this one. And I like Dallas for 7. Jeff.
I don't get the line. Cleveland, yes, their defense is good, but it's still Deshaun Watson. It's a team that rarely wins its opener. And I've got Dallas for 8.
Dallas for 8. Duda picks Dallas for 2. Max, where are you on this one?
Prescott's looking for a contract. CeeDee Lamb's not showing up. Parsons looking for a contract. Brown's at home taking the dog pound for 2.
Boy, you and Anthony are not going to be on speaking terms after these picks. Big fella, what do you think?
He's really trying to poke the bear, isn't he? He just really.
No, I'm not. No way, Anthony.
I thought we was friends. Every time I call in, how excited you sound when I call in. Now you kind of okay, but
killing
Cleveland
you.
Still has the shot.
I know you like Dallas. How many points?
Yeah. I'm going to take Dallas to cover this spread and then some, so I'm going my next highest point total, and I guess that'd be the 5 spot right there.
5 on the Cowboys. Now we get to Detroit at home against the Rams, a rematch of a playoff game last year in which the Rams came back, right?
Well, I don't know, but Detroit won it.
Detroit won it, but it was a heck of a game. Detroit a 3.5 favorite at home. Jeff.
Tough one again, but if Detroit's going to be the Super Bowl contender or even the NFC representative in that game, these are the type of games they have to use to make a little bit of a statement. I've got Detroit for four.
Detroit for four. Jason Duda picks the Rams for six. What about you, Max? Who do you like and for how many points?
I'm with Jeff. The Lions going to do anything. They're opening at home. I got them for three.
Anthony?
I'm going to go with Detroit. They got to make a statement. And I guess my next highest would be two.
Detroit for two. I like Detroit. I think they got to make a statement as well. I think that's a good way to put it. I like them for eight. Next, and we wrap it up, Baltimore tonight in Kansas City to face the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. Kansas City, a 3.5-point favorite at home. Duda opens, and he picks the Ravens for eight.
Weird.
Yes. I got the Ravens because they will romp. For five, Derrick Henry will be running over people.
This is the reason you lost the picks last year, your utter hatred for the Chiefs. And it will be the reason you lose again.
Of course, I am playing against the NFL favoring them and the refs. So, you know, what do you want?
There you go. There's Max. He's back. Big fella, who do you have in this one?
Hey, that's holding on Philly. No, I don't think so.
This is a toss-up. This is a real toss-up. I think the 3.5, that's almost a stretch. That can go either way, but I think I'm going to roll with Kansas City, and I'm glad I saved my 1 point because this game can go either way. But
I'm glad I saved my one. I have it's a tough one to pick, even though I said earlier in the show I have a very strong feeling, and I do. So why am I betting only one?
I don't know. You have to tell us.
Because I had a very strong feeling about the Ravens last year at home in the AFC Championship game, and it didn't happen. But I'm going to pick them again to stay in this game. I'm not sure they win it, but I'm going to pick Baltimore to cover for one. Jeff?
I think it's a field goal game, too. I've got Baltimore for one.
Wow. Interesting. Those are interesting picks. So thank you, Anthony. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty.
All right, Max, thank you as well. You know what I'm going to ask Max to do for the first time in the history of the show?
What?
In about 2 or 3 minutes, just start playing that song again as we wrap up the show on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah?
Just keep it, you know, soft volume so that we're leaving the show to that.
Okay.
That makes some sense.
If that's what you want to do.
Maybe that's something we do every show.
I thought we already had an outro song.
Well, we sort of do.
They don't play that.
We don't play that anymore.
They play it at the end.
Very briefly.
A minute or two.
No, not even close to a minute or two.
Yeah, our show ends at 4, but we go off the air at 3:53.
Yeah, and then they have a commercial break.
For 5 minutes.
And then they come back and they very briefly
for two
get
minutes.
To that. No, they don't.
Well, you're going to have
to. You're as wrong as you can
you're
be.
You're going to have to explain time you know who, better then.
You know, but you know who doesn't have their radio dial set to KFH?
Who?
You.
So?
I do.
Why?
Because I like. What do you mean, why? Tony, get rid of this clown. I mean, at some point, don't we have to do something?
I don't have a radio
you
dial
have the
set
awareness.
To anything. I listen to podcasts.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to listen to sports shows and get my mind tarnished or, you know what I'm saying?
Like, no, not at all.
I don't need anybody else's ideas to, I want to give my own opinions.
I outside of in the morning, when I listen to the MLB network on Sirius XM, and I'll admit that, I mean, I'm going to do that. I like hearing what those guys have to say. So that's what I listen to in the morning. But then the rest of the day, it's right here.
Really?
Of course it is.
What did Jim Rome talk about today?
Yesterday he was ripping into the White Sox. I wasn't in my car today.
He wasn't really ripping into him. He was kind of expressing a
Let's
little sympathy.
Let's get to Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys, I know we've got about 3 minutes before we play your song there, Bob, but just a quick
thought. No, we're going to play it here shortly.
Fair enough. Wanted to see what your thoughts are on Xavier Worthy, what you guys are expecting from him maybe tonight with Hollywood Brown out and then maybe long-term for the season.
I think he's going to be a star. I'll just leave it at that. Whether that happens tonight, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at anything he does. The Chiefs are one of those franchises right now. They have the golden touch, and people are going to be thinking to themselves, how did this guy get to where he did in the draft line, and we didn't pick him? That's what I think.
There are a lot of good receivers out there, and several of them were picked early, and you can't really argue with Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze.
He asked me what I thought.
Well, he asked me what you guys think, and I assumed I was one of the guys.
Max, let's hear that treat her like a lady.
Do I not? Okay.
Go ahead.
No, it's all good.
What were you saying?
Nothing.
No, you were saying something.
Well, you just
said there's a bunch of good receivers.
Steamrolled me. 4 for 78 and a touchdown for Worthy tonight.
So you're getting that specific?
Yeah.
Yeah, aren't you something?
Why not? It's just a prediction. Who cares?
Now, this is a good touch to this show.
It's fine.
This is one of my favorite songs that Max has ever come up with, and I'm very happy with him for it.
Good.
You ever dance to this one?
Not that I remember.
Anyway, I predict I can't get specific on the numbers for Xavier Worthy.
Oh, no one can. It's just I'm throwing it out.
But I will say this. I predict it to be a 23-20 game. And I picked Baltimore, but for only 1 point. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the score on the other way. I think it's going to be close throughout. Both teams have Super Bowl expectations. Both teams have them for worthy reasons. So tonight we get to see two of the best teams in the NFL battle it out. Baltimore will play better than it did in the AFC title game. It couldn't play much worse. And the Chiefs are going to be good. Duh, there you go.
There you have it.
Disagree with anything I said?
I don't know if they'll play
coming
better
over
or not.
Tonight to watch?
I don't know yet.
Still don't know.
No, I'm kind of irritated.
About?
The whole picks. I just didn't like the vibe with the picks.
Well, sorry. I did what I needed to do.
Due to not calling, due to not getting all the games.
Well, you'll have to go through that with Duda.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
What is it with you and Duda of late?
Nothing. But, I mean, show up.
Well, he may have had a good reason not to.
I'm sure he did.
So, yeah. We'd like to know earlier. And if had I known earlier, I could have texted and said, hey, you didn't pick this game. But we didn't. And we made do.
What are you going
to
do?
We did what we had to do.
Absolutely.
We got the picks made. And your 8-point game is Dallas. My 8-point game is Detroit.
What did Max say?
I don't know. 5 seconds.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Infinity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.